have come down to the lake shore, seeking neither the wise nor the wealthy, but only asking for me to follow. Lord, you have looked into my eyes, kindly smiling. You have called out my name. On the sand I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you I will seek other seas. You know full well what I have, Lord, neither treasure nor weapons of conquest, just ease my fish nets and we're working. Sweet Lord, you have looked into my eyes, kindly smiling. You have called out my name. On the sand I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you I will seek other seas. You need my hands, my exhaustion, working love for the rest of the weary, a love that's willing to go on loving. Lord, you have looked into my eyes, kindly smiling. You have called out my name. On the sand I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you I will seek other seas. You who have fished other waters, you the longing of souls that are yearning, O loving friend, you have come to call me. Sweet Lord,
you have looked into my eyes, kindly smiling. You call out my name. On the sand I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you
we continue with a greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Get to sing a song. I teach you guys a song. It's called Jesus is a Rock. You guys stand up. Follow my actions here. Jesus is a rock. And he rolls my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, shoo, bop, boo! Okay, and this is the song. It goes, Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, shoo, bop, boo. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, shoo, bop, boo. Madeline, aren't you excited about this song? You guys are more excited than they are. Okay, and then the verse is three times you sing when you're out on the street. When you're on the street and you got no place to go, when you're on the street and you're going to lose your soul, whatever it is. I mean, you just sing the first part of when you're out on the street, and then I'll sing the fill in the blanks. And then I'm going to say, why? And then you say, because Jesus is a rock and roll song. This is a rock and roll song. Are you getting excited? Matt, are you getting excited now? No. Okay, you guys sing for them because they're kind of not.
Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee.
Okay, when you're on the street.
When you're out on the street and you're feeling down and low. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. When you're out on the street and you got no place to go. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. When you're out on the street, well, Jesus gonna save your soul. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop.
This is the fun part.
Why?
Because
Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, boo. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop.
This here for Penny, all by herself. What's that? Your dad can take your plane. Well, tell you what, next week we'll sing the song again. Learn the second verse, and your dad will take your place. I can't wait. Okay, you guys can go to Sunday school or wherever you go from now on.
A reading from Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with a joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 27 responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me up high upon a rock.
Even now, my head is lifted up above my knees, because of my enemy. Therefore, I will offer sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifice of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek you.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
Glory to the
Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there were quarrels among you, brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollo, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what might be spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. May be seated. So, last week, we're jumping back and forth. We had John's Gospel, and this week's we have Matthew's Gospel. Last week, we talked about John the Baptist, but we heard from John the Baptist after the baptism of Jesus, where he points out Jesus to two of his disciples, John's disciples, and they follow Jesus. And Jesus says, "Where are you going?" And he says, "Well, where are you going? We want to stay with you." And that's when Jesus says, "Come and see." And then following that, we didn't get to that last week, but following that, one of those two disciples that were John's disciples now following Jesus was Andrew. And Andrew goes tells his brother Simon that we found the Messiah. And so he's all excited, and Jesus introduces himself to this Simon, and Jesus changes his name to Cephas, which means Peter. And so we know now that this is Andrew and Peter, the original first two of Jesus' disciples. But now we have Matthew, who's filling in the rest of the story. And so we now know that this story, according to Matthew, seems like a miracle. But if you take into account what has taken place in John, it's not so much a miracle as it is a very purposeful decision of Jesus to call these two men who he already knows. So in our lesson for today, we have Jesus hearing that John has been arrested. John's no longer in the picture. And so he decides to go to Galilee, which is about 80 miles away, because this is the far end of Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, in a place called Capernaum, in the region of Naphtali. And there he is a fulfillment of script of prophecy. And it's really interesting, I think, that Matthew always is telling about how Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. Right? I mean, five times in the birth story, Jesus fulfilled prophecy according to Matthew. Then in the calling of John the Baptist, that's another prophecy. And now here's the seventh one. Seven times there's a fulfillment of prophecy. And this region of Naphtali is going to be a place where darkness is turned into light, suffering is going to turn, see the light of God, and it's going to be a revolution that's going to take place in that place. And that's what Jesus is doing now in Galilee, Capernaum, in that region. And how wonderful it is to know that when now Jesus goes to sees Peter and Andrew in a boat fishing, and he says, come follow me, and they come immediately, it's because they have this history. At least according to John. He has this history with them, and so they're just fulfilling. The amazing thing is that Jesus sought them out. That he knew them from before, from way into Jerusalem, 80 miles away. John the Baptist is no longer in the picture. And so now he goes seeking them out, and he calls them to be his disciples. And they come immediately. And then he goes down a little bit further, and he finds James and John, the sons of Zebedee, calls them, and they also. So that's the first four of Jesus' disciples. All because there's this preparation that has taken place prior. And we would have known it without John's gospel. I can tell you that seldom does something from John relate to the other gospels. It's almost always distinctly its own. But here's an explanation that helps us to understand a little bit what's taking place when it comes to this calling of the disciples. But there's one more thing that I think is really vitally important. And that is, it says that from this time forward, because John has been arrested, Jesus molded his message. And he molded his message to be almost the same message of John. The message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is now at hand. Now, why did Jesus change his message? I don't think he changed his message. I think he affirmed John's message. And to me, I was thinking about this in my own mind. It's like they intersected at repentance. And then John went one side and got further and further along that path. And Jesus goes on the other side of repentance and goes further and further along that path. John has a message of repentance, but then he makes a real statement that you need to repent because you got to watch out. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be judged. You're going to be punished for your sins if you don't live the life of that repentance. Jesus is different. Jesus says, repent. But then he says, go into a new life. And the new life is filled with love and God's forgiveness and affirmation. Two opposite ways, but both from the foundation of repentance. Repentance is a Greek word that is metanoia. It means following a new path. Most of the time we think of repentance as you did something wrong, you got to do something right. Here, Jesus is much more sensitive. He thinks that people that are sinful are lost. He thinks people that are sinful are sick. He thinks people that are committing sins are people that have just lost their way. And so he is not talking about how they need to be punished, but he's talking about how they need to have a new life. And that's where repentance takes place. You have repentance so that you can be open to this new life that Jesus is offering. Now, I think it's important for us to also understand this contrast between John's understanding of repentance and Jesus' understanding of repentance. And for me, John's understanding of repentance talks about fear is the motivating force when you're, because you could be judged and you can be punished if you don't do what you need to be doing. I mean, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. If you don't do what's right, you'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. John is peddling in fear. At the same time, John is also saying that there's going to be punishment for those who don't act according to the repentance that you've professed. Jesus is almost opposite. I always thought of this as like a fork in the road. You know, you go one way or the other way. It's almost like a T, you know, because they're almost opposite of one another. Because Jesus says that what is happening in being repentant is that you're opening yourself up to the grace of God. You're opening yourself up to God's love and a new life. And that new life is something that is going to be so positive, so wonderful. And so we simply reject an old way of life and we're into a new life. I have an illustration of that that I think is a good one, because I think John's way leads us to this whole idea of punishment. And we need to realize that that's not God's way. Let's say you're a father or a mother, and you have a little girl. And you tell that little girl and warn her not to play in the street. So the little girl is rebellious, plays in the street, and gets hit by a car. Which of you would say that that father sent that car to punish that little girl for her disobedience? Nobody in their right mind would have thought that. But that's John's rationale of looking at life. You don't do what's right, you're going to be punished for it. And that punishment is going to hurt you. And so therefore avoid it, because it's fearful not to be able to be a part of that. But rather, it's actually the opposite. The father said, don't play in the street, to prevent the little girl from getting hit by a car. I mean, that's exactly why he told her what to do. And if she's obedient to what the father says, then she can avoid that, play all she wants, but can avoid that consequence. And so to me, that's the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist deals with punishment. Jesus is dealing with consequence. The consequence of sin are always negative. The wages of sin is death. And so therefore, when we are rebellious against God, then therefore, that rebelliousness will have its consequence. And Jesus is always warning us of that consequence. Don't suffer the consequence. That's life in this world. It is filled with consequences. And Jesus wants us to avoid those negative consequences from negative behavior, so that we can follow His way and His will in our lives. Two ways. It's a way of fear or it's a way of love. It's a way of punishment or it's a way of consequences. So Jesus, in our lives, now next week we're going to have a wonderful lesson on the Beatitudes, which I think helps us to understand more fully what this new life is that Jesus is offering at this fork of the road. We repent so that we're willing to go into a new life. But after that repentance comes a new life, and that new life is going to be spelled out by Jesus in His preaching, which is at the Sermon on the Mount, which is next week's lesson.